You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast episode. My name is Josh Lloyd and you can find me on Twitter as always at @redrock_bball. Today we're going to be looking at some guys who are possibly and probably available on your waiver wire who could provide some value either in the short or long term for your fantasy basketball team, and then do a quick fantasy check-in on the Atlanta Hawks, the Brooklyn Nets and the Boston Celtics. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
All right, guys, let's take a look at some players who could be available on your waiver wire that could help you out, again, either short-term or long-term. We'll start with one of the Denver Nuggets players, a guy who's really been excelling at the moment, and that is Monty Morris, the 34th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Yes, there is the return of Gary Harris, Will Barton, and Isaiah Thomas to pay attention to, and that's all going to have an impact on him. But those guys are still out for, I'd guess, at least another week, Barton and Harris. Isaiah Thomas, who knows if he's even going to play this season? That's legitimately a concern for mine at this point. And if he's even going to look, there's a 60% chance that Morris is going to be the better player than Thomas this season anyway. Now, whether Michael Malone sees that or believes that or trusts in that, I don't know. But for now, Morris is putting up great numbers. He's giving you the assists, the really valuable 5 assists a game, 1.6 steals. The shooting is really unsustainable, 62% from 2, 58% from 3. But the minutes are strong, the assists are valuable. And for the short term, Monty Morris is a guy who is a 12-team league guy. I just don't know if it's going to necessarily last all that long. A player whose value should be able to last, not necessarily at this level, but Marcus Smart, the 51st ranked player over the last 2 weeks, He's available in 57% of Yahoo leagues. It's not because he's on a hot shooting streak, because he's shooting 37% from the field over this time. It's 4.5 assists, it's 4 rebounds, it's 1.5 threes, it's 3 steals. He's playing a lot of minutes now. Those 31 minutes a game over his last 6 are probably going to come down, but I don't think he's going to lose his job in the starting lineup. The Boston Celtics offense has been working a lot better with him in there versus Jaylen Brown. And even in 28 minutes a night, he can provide value. Now, you do have to pay attention to that field goal percentage, but he's taking so few attempts this season that it's not unrecoverable from number. And I think that Marcus Smart is someone that you absolutely need to be paying attention to, and he's got a chance of being able to sustain value for the rest of the season. Marvin Williams of the Charlotte Hornets is the 55th ranked player over the last couple of weeks. He's really ramped his value up at the moment. He's playing 31 minutes a night. Now, at the start of the season, he was playing like 24, 25 minutes a night, and I was out on him. A 32, 33-year-old guy who was getting extra competition from someone like Michael Kidd-Gilchrist and Miles Bridges. I didn't really see this turnaround coming, but James Borrego has placed a lot more faith in Marvin Williams of late, and we're seeing those minutes increase. We're also seeing red-hot shooting, 53% from 3 and 51% from the field, which is not likely to sustain itself as he's averaging 14 and 6 with 3 triples a game. But he is a solid enough back-end 12-team league guy who could have a couple more weeks of top 100 value. He could very easily drop outside the top 150 as well. So it's not one where you go and blow your entire fab budget on, or you drop a consistently producing or high upside player for him. But he is a guy that probably should be on more rosters than he is. 49% available in Yahoo leagues is Marvin Williams. His teammate Cody Zeller is available in 63% of leagues, and he is just as solid a value that is underappreciated. He's the 57th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. 27 minutes, are they're trending up. We're seeing the Hornets lose faith in Frank Kaminsky and Bill Hernangómez. 10 and 9, a block, a steal, and it's the 69%
giggity
from the field that Cody Zeller is really thriving with, 90% from the line as well. He's really shown, he's always been a valuable on-court player. It's never massively translated into fantasy. This high field goal percentage is really helping, but the rebounds are nice, the blocks are nice, the free throws are nice. There's enough value there that he can be a 12-team league guy, and I don't really see his role diminishing at any point during the season. He's, if anything, getting stronger as the season goes on and more trust is placed in him by the coaching staff. So I think you should feel pretty good about Cody Zeller. Smokin' Joe Harris of the Brooklyn Nets, the 64th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's playing 30 minutes a night. He's going to be a 30-minute a night guy consistently for the rest of the season. 15 points and 3 triples, but the big impressive thing here with Harris is his increased playmaking, almost 4 assists per game recently, and that's what pushes him from the 120th player into a top 100 guy. He's shooting a very high 56% from the field and 57% from 3, but this is a 45% 3-point shooting potential guy, so he is a strong shooter, but it's these assists that are really providing some interesting value for Smoke and Joe Harris. His role isn't going anywhere. He can be that nice, efficient source of points and threes. And then you add some assists and steals in there, and that makes him a decently strong 12-team league player, in my opinion. Next is another wing player, Kevin Huerta of the Atlanta Hawks. He's the 68th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. He's averaging 14 points with 3 triples, 1.2 steals. He's shooting 51 and 88, including 48% from 3. So some high-ish numbers there with the shooting, but I believe his role is pretty stable. He can get assists and rebounds, although they haven't really been coming in the last little stretch of time, under 2 rebounds and under 2 assists during the last 5 games. When Taurean Prince comes back, it does take a little bit of usage from Huerta, but he's only working on a usage of 16.5% here anyway, so it's not like he's doing it on a really elevated usage rate. Kent Bazemore will likely go back to the bench, and Huerta will just keep developing next to Trae Young, next to Prince, next to John Collins, and should increase those assist numbers, rebound numbers, and be a consistent, if not top 100 guy, top 120 guy from here on out. Jeff Green.
My name is Jeff.
This is really a short-term one for Jeffy. He's played 35 minutes a night over the last 7 games. He's the 73rd ranked player, 15-6 with 2 threes, decent enough field goal percentage, 52%. He's replacing Otto Porter. When Porter comes back, it'll be harder to utilize Green, but we have to remember that this team, while they did acquire Trevor Ariza, they did lose 2 rotation players in Rivers and Oubre, so some extra minutes will go somewhere. Not necessarily that they will all go to Jeff Green, and he won't be able to maintain 30-plus minutes, but for the short term, while Porter is out, Green is providing that value, and he is available in 68% of Yahoo leagues. Kyle Anderson's still around as well, 38% available in Yahoo. He needs to be rostered. He's a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks. He should be a top 100 guy from here on out. High field goal percentage, steals and blocks and assists, solid rebounding. He's doing what we thought he would do in the preseason, in the offseason. He's getting back to that level now, and there's no reason, I don't believe, that he should be on any waiver wire in a 12-team league. The Fort, Kevin Knox, the 95th ranked player over the last 2 weeks. The scoring has been really, really strong. 20 points per game with 3 triples and 6.5 rebounds. They are all really strong numbers. It's the fact that he lacks in those other areas, which always keeps his ceiling limited. Less than 1 assist, 0.7 steals, 0.4 blocks, 43 and 71, so significant negatives in those areas. But the fact that he is scoring as much as he is, he's hitting those threes, he's rebounding pretty well, he has to be rostered in 12 team leagues, and he's available in 41% of leagues, so the ability to add him is closing pretty quickly. But you got to make sure that he is not on your waiver wire. Davis Bertans, this is more of a deeper league one, but he is a top 100 player over the last 2 weeks because he's hitting threes at a really solid rate. 67% on his triples, almost 3 threes per game. It makes him a perfect stream sort of a player. He pushed Dante Cunningham out of the rotation last game for the Spurs. He comes in, he hits his 2.5 threes a game. He gets you 9 or 10 points. That can be valuable in your 16-team leagues and as a streamer in even shorter leagues. But it does appear that Derek White is going to have that starting job, but I still not fully trusting Popovich with that at this point. One of the most obvious ones, of course, is Larry Nance Jr. He is still available in 21% of leagues. He is a top 20 player over the last 2 weeks. Pretty clearly, top 20 players shouldn't be available in 21% of leagues. I do, of course, worry about Larry Drew and what he's going to do when Tristan Thompson and Kevin Love return. But for now, you just add Nance, you run for the next couple of weeks, and you see what happens, and you hope that common sense prevails. He is putting up monster numbers, the numbers that we thought he could do if he was given this opportunity in the preseason. It's coming to fruition. We just don't know how long it's necessarily going to last. Another guy whose value we don't know is going to last is Kent Bazemore, a top 50 player over the last 2 weeks, playing 31 minutes a game and scoring 18 points. As long as Taurean Prince is out, Bazemore is a 12-team league guy. And even for that period where Prince gets eased back in, you hold on to Baze. If you could sell high on him, that would be great. But he is available in 26% of leagues. So 10-team leagues, he's there. And some 12-team formats, he's going to be around. So have a look at Kent Bazemore to see if he can fit your team or see if he's available. The 128th ranked player over the last 2 weeks is Mason Plumlee. He's available in 81% of leagues. So 128th isn't great. It's not a 10-team league player. It's a borderline 12-team league guy. It's absolutely a 14 and deeper sort of a player, and he is look like he's going to be starting and playing 30 minutes a night with Paul Millsap out for the next 3 to 4 weeks. Plumlee gives you a steal, a block, good field goal percentage. The free throws are an issue. Solid rebounder. Scores okay. He has value. in those 14 and deeper leagues, and even in 12-team leagues, if it fits exactly what you're trying to do and he fills that role of a high field goal percentage, blocks and rebound stream option, Plumlee's going to have that value for the next couple of weeks. So you do have to look at him as an option. Jordy Clarkson also really thriving at the moment, 30 minutes a game over the last six, almost 20 points with two threes. Your field goal percentage is going to be a concern. He doesn't do anything defensively. His assist numbers are okay. Three assists per game is all right, but he has got that value at the moment. We've got, you know, Colin Sexton there. You've got Matty Dellavedova in the mix. Rodney Hood's dealing with another foot injury, which helps Clarko as well, but he has been getting the big minutes. We're seeing Larry Drew lean on him a lot more, and it's paying off for his fantasy value. So he's available in 41% of Yahoo League. So go and have a look if he is available in your league and it might be able to pay off. And of course, we have to talk about the last guy, Thomas Bryant, who went absolutely bananas on Saturday. Career highs, didn't miss a shot. He is a top 110 player over the last 2 weeks, 11 points per game with 6 rebounds in 22 minutes. And I've talked about Thomas Bryant on my show quite a bit, saying I really do love his upside. He dominated the G League, but I didn't like how few minutes he was getting for the Wizards. But the last two games, including that triple overtime game against the Suns, like, his numbers have been up. Even the game before that, he played 25 minutes. Yan Mihinmi's out of the rotation. He's averaging 11.5 and 6 with a block. Obviously, 75% from the field is going to dip. But if you added someone like Daniel Tice or the Rock DJ Robbie Williams, I would drop them for Thomas Bryant. I feel better about what Bryant is able to do. He should be locked in as a starting center. And hopefully Scott Brooks has some level of competence and plays him more than 17 minutes a night now and gives him 24 or 25. Because in 25 minutes a night, I do think he is a 12-team league guy. So he's not worth selling the farm for. He's not worth throwing out there and, you know, your 100% of your fab budget. But if you've got, you know, 10% out there, 15% out there, I wouldn't be adverse to that. A guy who could be a top 100 center for a couple of months, perhaps, is worth it. But there is definitely a limit on his upside. The last game, Markieff Morris fouled out as well, that triple overtime game, which helped him. And of course, 14 from 14 from the field is not a realistic thing to be able to continue. But he is an option and someone you absolutely need to be considering. So there's some waiver wire guys. Of course, this is not all-inclusive. It doesn't cover every single player you should be rostering. I think I go through all these guys pretty consistently on the main podcast, but there's some names just to highlight to you that could be around that could help your fantasy team. Fantasy check-in time on the Atlanta Hawks, a team obviously that's struggling in the NBA standings, but there's still fantasy value to be had there. Kent Bazemore is the best ranked Hawks player over the last 2 weeks, a top 50 guy. He should be rostered in leagues at this point in all 12-team leagues. Of course, when Taurean Prince returns, it's going to have an impact on him. A couple of other guys who aren't rostered in anywhere near enough leagues, the Undertaker Dwayne Dedman and Kevin Huerta, both top 70 players over the last 2 weeks. You can have your concerns, I guess, about what Prince is going to do to Huerta's value, but I think it's going to be a much larger impact on Bazemore. Huerta's not even giving you those assists, which can really bring his numbers up at the moment, averaging 14 points with under 2 assists, but he's shooting well, he's hitting threes. I think his role's fairly secure, and I think he needs to be rostered. He's providing some value. Well, Trae Young, people shit on Trae Young quite a bit, understandably, considering how poor he was shooting, but over the last 2 weeks, he's a top 85 player. He's averaging 16.5 with a steal and shooting 44 from the field and 30% from three. Now, they aren't great numbers, but they're a shitload better than what he was doing before, and they push him into a category where he's not a punt field goal guy with those sort of numbers. And 44 and 30 as field goal percentage and 3-point percentage numbers, they're not wildly unsustainable numbers. So Young could be starting to turn a corner here. He's available in some leagues, and if anyone drops him, I would absolutely go and roster him. Johnny Collins out at the moment with an ankle injury, which is not great considering he missed the start of the season with an ankle injury. His free throws have been a real detriment to his overall ranking. 62% from the line and almost 6 attempts. That's what's made him outside the top 120 over the last couple of weeks, because 19 and 14 is brilliant. He's not bringing much defensively, and those free throws are a real issue. Let's just hope that this ankle injury isn't too much of a problem. Isn't too much of a problem for Collins moving forward. Well, guys like DeAndre Bembry, Jeremy Lin, they're just sort of stream-type options. Lin can become a 12-team league guy in spurts. He's not quite there at the moment. Be a nice points and assists type of streamer, while Bembry is that assists and steals type streamer who really, really struggles in those other areas. So that's your quick fantasy check-in on the Atlanta Hawks. Fantasy check-in time for the Brooklyn Nets. Spencer Dinwiddie, really the key beneficiary of the Caris LeVert injury. He's putting up some really strong numbers at the moment. A top 50 player over the last couple of weeks. He's still available in some leagues, so go and have a look there. 23.5 points on 51% shooting. Efficiency was a real issue for Dinwiddie last season, but he's improved that significantly this season, but I still have fears of something of a regression. Well, Joe Harris starting to break out, shooting the ball well, but adding playmaking to his game. 3.7 assists over his last six games. That's obviously a much larger number than what we've seen from Harris in the past. He is a guy who does have some okay 12-team league value. While Rowdy Rodion's Kurucs, who's been starting in Alan Crabb's position, is a top 110 player over the last 2 weeks. Despite playing only 25 minutes a night, he's shooting well, 55 from the field and 47 from three. He's averaging 12 points, 3.5 rebounds. He's probably more of a 14 to 16 team league guy, but you know that I like Kurucs as a dynasty potential as a top 100 player in the next 3 to 4 seasons. Rondé Hollis-Jefferson can't crack the top 150 of late. He's been really, really up and down. 12.5 and 5.5 with 1.5 steals. Not shooting the ball well. He can be a 12-team league guy. He's not a high upside. He's not a high priority guy, in my opinion. So I don't think that he is a must-roster guy. He's available in quite a few leagues as well. So there could be some value there for Hollis-Jefferson if you want to go and grab him. D'Angelo Russell and Jarrett Allen, they do sneak inside the top inside the top 100 over the last couple of weeks. Is doing what they do. Good assist numbers from Russell, 8 assists per game. Allen's block numbers, they're nowhere near the numbers that we saw from him in the second half of last season, where he was blocking like 3 shots a game pretty much. Not at that level. And we need to wait on the return of Alan Crabb and see if that does have an impact on Kurucs, which it almost definitely will, or on Harris or Dinwiddie, which I doubt it. And Crabb is not going to be a 12-team league guy this season. He'll just be a streamer. Although, you know, prior to his injury, he was starting to put together some numbers, which had made him a relatively useful fantasy player in the past. Fantasy check-in on the Boston Celtics. Kyrie Irving's been a monster, the number 5 ranked player over the last 2 weeks. Big numbers, big steal numbers. The efficiency's actually been a little bit lower for him over this time frame as well, and he's still that highly ranked. He has been fantastic. But the next two Celtics are probably a surprise. Number 33 is Marcus Morris. Number 51 is Marcus Smart. Morris is shooting the ball really well. 22 points a game over his last four. He's back on Sunday with his knee issue. 3 threes a game, 54% from the field. I do worry that he's going to be able to maintain this level of efficiency or even this level of playing time. But for now, he's got 12-team value. So does Marcus Smart, who is getting 31 minutes a night over the last six. I do think that playing time will drop. But as a steals and assists streamer, there aren't many better, if any better, than Marcus Smart. Jason Tatum just hovering around that 55 mark, which is about where he'll be most of the season. Nothing really remarkable to talk about with him. We do have to talk about the Rock DJ, Robbie Williams, who looked like he was in line for a really significant role with Aaron Baines going down, but played 8 minutes in the next game. And now Al Horford is back in action as well. And that's going to mean they've got Horford and Tice and Marcus Morris back, so it's going to really limit Robbie Williams' numbers. Now, he can be that blocks streamer. He's averaging 3 blocks per game over his last 6 in 16 minutes per night. That's obviously really impressive, and shooting 77% from the field. But will he actually get enough opportunities? Will he play in every game from here on out, and will it be a large enough role to have him as a must roster guy? I'm pretty highly doubtful of that. While with Horford back, Tice goes back to being not more of a curiosity, a deeper league curiosity, rather than a 12-team potential player. He is a top 140 guy over the last couple of weeks, mainly because of his high shooting numbers, 54% from the field, but nothing we really need to get excited about. But we do need to talk about Gordon Hayward, who is struggling at the moment, clearly can't hit a shot, only 38% from the field. The other numbers aren't all that inspiring, only 28 minutes as well. I still think he's a 12-team league guy, but I'm getting less and less convinced of that as the days go on. While Terry Rozier and Jaylen Brown, outside the top 150, they're not 12-teamers. Brown is a 14-teamer. Rozier is more of a 16-team league player. That'll do it for another Locked On Fantasy Basketball Fast Break podcast episode. Follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeble and the Locked On Podcast Network at @LockedOnNBAnet. Guys, we are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.